Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. What does it mean to be of one mind? That's the question that has been festering this week. When the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi, urging them to make his joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, what does that mean for us? We're coming to the close of our sermon series that we've been enjoying this summer, where we've been exploring a number of the Apostle Paul's letters to the various churches of the early church. Together, we've been trying to figure out, what do these ancient letters have to say to us today, nearly 2,000 years later, here at Mount Olivet? Today's 13 verses from the letter to the Philippians are rich. They're dense. They're beautiful. But it's this opening line that has stuck with me this week. One mind, full accord, the same mind. On one hand, that sounds good. I mean, I like when people agree with me. It's fun to be with folks that think like I do and see the world as I do and appreciate the things that I appreciate. It certainly makes ordering takeout easier. But then again, there's all kinds of research that indicates diverse and divergent thinking yields better results in the long run. So whether you're building a team at work or putting together community members to solve a problem, the best outcomes, the most lasting outcomes, are usually achieved by folks who come at the work with a different mindset, with different lived experiences and frameworks. There's also all kinds of ways in which being of one mind can be really scary. Groupthink, or the echo chambers that we live in social media, or mob mentality have contributed to some of the most terrifying moments in human history. When there's no room for dissent, it's the kind of stuff of sci-fi movie nightmares. Does anybody remember the Borg? Like from Star Trek? The Borg was this collective of human/machines that functioned with a hive mind. Each individual was subsumed into the greater whole. They had this great opening salvo anytime their ship appeared out of warp in front of another ship or another world. They would say, "We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile." It's such a great line. Okay, now look, I'm not suggesting that Paul is urging the Philippian church to function like the Borg, like a hive-minded collective. But there are certainly strands within Christianity that have really picked up and run with this whole one mind idea. Groups that have a real strong culty vibe to them, where to become a part of the community is to conform to the community. To be a part of the community means to think exactly like everyone in the community. You are of one mind with them. And you become of one mind by losing yourself within the community. But that's not what Paul is advocating for here. To be of one mind isn't a plea for unanimity or homogeneity. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's to see one another as being worthy of love, even, and most especially, in spite of our differences. To be of one mind isn't about losing yourself to the collective, but it's rather about giving yourself to one another so that each one of you, so that all of us can live the life that God intends for us. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. This is what Paul is urging the church to be about. This is what Paul is saying to us today, too. That the God that we have come to know in Jesus is a God who gives himself away freely and fully for you and for me. Jesus doesn't ask that we disappear into him. Rather, Jesus gives himself to you in order that you might have his life forever, and that Jesus might shine in you and through you. Jesus used everything that he had, everything he was, for you. So now as the church, we get to be recipients and bearers of that gift. We get to figure out how we bring that to the world. Last weekend, I was up at family camp with a bunch of folks from Mount Olivet, and we had the special treat of being able to baptize one of the kids who was there in Lake Caribou. It was the best. We had folks who were lining the dock to be able to see, and people were spread all the way down the beach. And we were all there in that moment for one reason: to hear God's promises of love and life spoken to Oaks, the little child we baptized. We were all of one mind and one love. Together, we brought all our complexity and uniqueness, and we were there for him and for his family. And I was just overwhelmed in that moment by how amazing the church is. Look, the Spirit gathers people together who don't really have anything to do with one another. The Spirit pulls together people who might not think about things the same way or agree on very much or maybe even ordinarily like each other very much. The Spirit pulls all of these people together and says, look, you belong to one another. In a world that is increasingly trying to isolate and castigate people who think and act differently, the church, when it's at its best, is the exact opposite. It's the diversity of God's creative efforts brought together, bound together by the love of Jesus, which is always and forever being given away to us. We get to do this week in and week out together. We get to share this with one another and the world, now and forevermore. Amen.